Well, Eamon, when the call came first day, did it take you long to make up your mind?
It didn't really, Rich. You know, I had to think about things. All right, I suppose a big concern I had at the start was in relation to the under-21s, really. I felt that after last year we had a bit of unfinished business, and there's a very good squad there again this year, and even on purpose last year we had a good few fellas picked that would be underage again for the second year, and we felt by the second year that they would have developed a good bit. And, it was kind of with a heavy heart I was leaving that, really. But the fact that, the same management were happy to stay on and Dara took up the reins, I knew it was in good hands. So once I kind of had that parked in my own mind, I spoke to my family and those close to me, and I got advice off Jack. And, you know, I realised then that this kind of an opportunity doesn't come around that often in life. And I said I'd go at it, and go at it with a vengeance, I suppose.
Just staying with the under-21s, and you did tremendous work with them. They were playing lovely football, and just going back to that night under lights in the Munster final in Tralee, when Cork just narrowly beat you, that was one of the great under-21 performances by a wee Kerry team in comparison to Cork.
I suppose we were very disappointed afterwards, Weechi, because we felt we felt that we had a great chance of winning that night, and we had planned to win. I think maybe looking back on it now that we lost the toss both times, there was a strong breeze that night down into the Horns end, and both at the start of the game and at the start of extra time, Cork got a lead in us, and in fairness to the lads in normal time, they reacted very well, and we managed to get the draw out of it. But in extra time, 6 points was just too big a gap to pull back, and we just came up short. But I would have loved, particularly at the end of normal time, when we kind of had them on the run and you could see they were panicking a bit, that if we had got a bit of a breeze at the start of extra time and if we could have gone ahead, that, you know, it would have been interesting to see how Cork would have reacted. But it was very disappointing, but I think a lot of the lads learned a lot from it. And, if we could have got a draw that night and maybe had another cut at them, it would have been interesting, because I think a lot of the lads learned a lot about themselves that night and learned, you know, just how good they can be in pressure situations. But like I said, we just came up just short.
You mentioned Dara there. Of course, you have left them in great hands with the lads in charge. And I would imagine, Eamon, that a kind of a combination between the under-21s and the seniors and yourself and Dara are great friends. This is going to be very important in your plans, I'd imagine.
That is, of course, Weechi, going forward. We're there for 3 years, and of course we've ambitions straight away for 2013, but at the same time we want to develop the squad and make sure that there's a share of young blood coming through. And there's a lot of good lads in Dara's hands this year that should be feeding into our squad as the year goes on. And definitely I'll be looking forward to getting some of those fellas involved with us. And like you said, the fact that Dara's there, and He's good deputies around him with John Shannon and Harry, who were there last year, and Noel Kennelly, I think, is a great addition as well. And he has a McCabe then as well, helping him out with the training duties. So I think the under-21s are in great hands, and definitely, hopefully, their campaign will keep going till the end of April, the start of May next year. And at that stage, and you'd be looking for a few of the lads to come in with us and bolster our panel as well.
Staying on the same team, Eamon, about players coming through and into various teams, I was reading there lately in Cork where they have started up from under 16, 17, 18, and I even seen Tipperary. They won a tournament over the weekend. Are we lagging behind in that respect generally, and is there work to be done there, or would you be happy the way we are at the moment?
I think there's an awful lot of good work being done, Weechi, but certainly as in everything, there's always room for improvement. I think there's a huge amount of good work being done with the development squads and the underage set-up. I think the minors last year, a lot of those fellas would have progressed fairly well under the likes of Mickey Ned and Jono and Peter Kane. And you'll be hoping that the fellas that are underage again this year, they'll progress further again. So I think it's a work in progress the whole time, and definitely we have a bit of ground to make up, but we're going the right direction, and we'll keep at it. I think there's great people involved with the underage teams and the development squads, and we'll just have to keep working at it and keep making sure that fellas, I suppose the ultimate aim is that by the time a fella's finished with the under-21s, he's, you know, he's ready to slot into a senior panel almost straight away, and that it's not that big a jump up that it can be sometimes if fellas aren't physically and mentally and football-wise and everything. There's a lot that goes into it, and I suppose that's at the end of the under-21 campaign, even if you're not winning All-Irelands, as long as you're passing on players that are ready to make the step up, you have a good job done.
You mentioned one word there, physically, Eamon, and my view would be, my own personal view, that Kerry would have the best natural footballers in Ireland from all age groups up along, and in particular senior. I think the Kerry seniors, which we'll talk about later, are more natural than anybody else. But there's a whole new emphasis now on physicality and gym work and all this kind of a thing. What's your view on all that, and is this the way forward?
Look, it's the way the game has gone. Weishi, I think, you know, Donegal took it to a new level this year at senior level. But I mean, even when you go down the levels, if you look at the Dublin Miners now, the day they played Kerry, they were seriously developed. Now, I suppose the thing about Dublin and Cork, they seem to be bigger physically at underage level, but I suppose the other side of that is that they have the population, they have huge populations in their counties, and they're able to maybe handpick physically bigger players. But it definitely is a part of the game. I don't think that it's that maybe players have to be huge muscle men or anything, but it's that players at this stage, they have to be physically well conditioned, I think is probably the best word, that whatever you have, be it that you're 6'2" and you're a big 14 or 15 stone man, or that you're 5'7" or 8", that you just, whatever you have is conditioned, and you're not carrying any, you know, that you're what would you say, well-built, and I don't think it's that you have to be huge, but what you have, that you're maximising it, I suppose, is the best way of saying it. So it is a part of the game, and it's a part of the game that we have to move with in Kerry. And again, there is work being done at the development squad level that the lads are, developing. But I think myself, probably the most important thing is that there's a vision there, that a fella, you know, comes in at a certain age at a development squad and he progresses, and by the time he's a Kerry minor, he's at a certain level, and by the time he's an under-21, he's at a certain level, and by the time he's finished with the under-21s, then he's at a level where he can almost slot into the senior panel seamlessly. But, I suppose people with sports science backgrounds that have more knowledge than me about that. But definitely it's an area that we have to keep trying to improve in the whole time.
Stay with the under-21s a minute, Eamon. How did you find the mentality of the young players, Kerry young under-21s, that they'd look up to you and they'd look up to Darren, the lads there? Did they appreciate and did they realise where they were and what was expected of them?
They were an absolutely fantastic bunch, Weishi. They were, I like I said to you, to start making the decision to go on to the senior job, that was the hardest thing, because they were a great bunch of lads to work with. I think maybe at the start some of them mightn't have realised the significance of playing for Kerry, or the significance of the green and gold, and but definitely by the night we played Cork, they had a huge appreciation of it, and I was delighted with them. I was delighted with the progress they made. I was looking forward to working with them again this year to kind of push them on another bit. But they were a fantastic bunch of lads, and they were eating it out of your hand, really. They were mad for road, they were mad to improve. So I really enjoyed working with them. They were a great bunch of lads, and you know, some of them will be, some of the older, the fellas that are gone from the under-21s will definitely be part of our plans with the seniors this year, because they have the ability, and I think it's just the belief maybe that they're so used to looking up to some of the senior players in the Kerry team winning All-Irelands that it's possibly a bit surreal for them to be in a position now where they have to come in and start flaking into them and challenging them in a good way. So that'll be probably the biggest challenge for some of them.
Of course, on the plus side of you leaving the under-21s in, going up as senior manager, the fact that you'll be coming into them in that night, talking to them, and we have the senior manager coming in, and we have Dara O'Shea here, that's going to be a huge plus. What reservations had you about taking the senior? Had you any reservation about you might have been close to the older group of players and that you had known them well and you had socialised with them? Had you any reservations, Eamon?
It was a consideration, definitely, Weishi, but it wasn't a big consideration, because it'd be different if I had been sharing the dressing room with the lads this year or last year as a player, and I was going straight into the top job. Then it would be certainly more challenging in that regard. But I retired for Kerry in the middle of the 2007 season. and I was gone out of it for a couple of years, and I came back in with Jack as a selector then for 2 years, and I helped out again last summer. So I suppose I got across the other side of the divide anyway. And, you know, there was a natural break to when I came into selector, and then as a selector I was there for the 2 seasons. So I was used to dealing with lads on a different footing. Of course, I mean, there probably will be challenges at different stages during the year, but, you know, I'll be very honest with the lads, and I'm sure the lads will be very honest with me, so I don't envisage it being a big problem. And like I said, it was at consideration, but I didn't have to do too much thinking about it because of the fact that I had been part of the management ticket before.
You mentioned there when you retired, I must try this to you, and I often felt this and I often said it, I thought you retired too soon. Looking back at your career now, you would have knocked a couple of more years out of it, would you?
I could have, Weishi, but like, I mean, the way I looked at it at the time, I think looking back on it now, I'm actually happy the way things turned out. When Jack went the first time at the end of 2006, I was kind of a sub pushing hard for the team that year. And I felt that I would give it a right go in 2007, and I trained hard over the winter in 2006 on my own, did a lot of work. And when Pat O'Shea and the lads came in 2007, I kind of set it before myself to, you know, nail down the centre-back spot again, because I kind of flirted with centre-forward in Jack's last year. But, you know, I could survive away maybe with Finuig or Field Rangers or something centre-forward, but trying to do that at inter-county level, it was definitely a different challenge. Whereas, you know, my natural habitat always at inter-county level was centre-back, and would have been my natural position. So I laid before myself to try and nail down the centre-back spot during the National League in 2007. And it didn't work out. I didn't manage to do it. And I knew by the end of the league, I really wasn't going to be figuring as a first choice player. You know, different managers have different ideas, and I'd no problem with that. So I felt at the time that I didn't want to hang in as a panel player. I felt that the effort was too big. And I suppose having been there, done that, and having played for a good few years, you'd find it hard to be a sub where you might be only getting bits and pieces of games here and there. So I decided to retire, and you know, I went back, and the reason I consider myself fortunate as a way is that I went back and I had great years with my club afterwards, and both hurling and football and with Field Rangers. And I think maybe oftentimes when with senior Kerry lads, by the time they finish up when they're 33, 34, you know, they're only barely stuck together at that stage, and they don't get to enjoy the club scene as much as they would. Whereas I was back in with the lads, and it was fantastic, you know, not just being there for games, but sharing a dressing room and training and going back to the lads that I kind of grew up with. So I had 5 or 6 years of that after I retired with Kerry. So I'd consider myself fortunate. Of course, I could have hung in there, and particularly in 2007 and won another All-Ireland, but it wasn't going to have the same value for me unless I was on the team myself or seriously pushing to be on the team, and I didn't think I was going to be. So I definitely have no regrets anyway.
And of course, you kicked the winning point for Field Rangers in the county final, and you kicked the equaliser for Finuig last Sunday against Barr. So there are very few fellas can talk about you're still kicking points. Anyway, your backroom team, then, Eamon, would be your next big. When you made your decision and you told the county board you'd accept it, then the most important thing to have good men around you and a good team on the line. Kerry always had a good team on the line with them. They always had good men, good football brains. You had to think about that then, and you went for Mickey Sheehy and Dermot Murphy before we talk about Keane O'Neill.
Yeah, I mean, look, Weishi, like you said, it's particularly for someone young and inexperienced like me, it was vital to have a good team around me. And I know from working with Jack, you know, how important it is in the store that Jack put in his management team, and going back to when he came in, first of all, with Pat Flanagan and Ger O'Keefe and Johnny Cullity, he had great men around him, and that's absolutely vital, you know, for any management team. So I thought long and hard about it, and I spoke to Mikey, and he was delighted to get involved, and I was delighted. I'd worked with Mikey in the past myself as a player with the Kerry Miners, and I knew the type of fella that Mikey was. He's a great football brain. Obviously, he's a legend in Kerry football, and I thought it was good to have a link with that Kerry team as well, the great Kerry team from the 70s and 80s. Yeah. You know, that was important to have some kind of a link with that group, and the fact that Mikey is so experienced as well was important, like I say, particularly with a younger management team. and you know, his ability to work with the forwards as well will be very good going forward. So I was delighted when Mikey decided to get on board with Dermot. I thought maybe that it would be good to have a bit of continuity as well at the same time, and I was very impressed with Dermot when I went in this summer. I thought that he was very sharp in the line in particular, and getting, you know, I know myself from working with a lot of different teams and school teams and everything, that getting someone who's sharp in the line can be hard sometimes, because you'll get 1,000 fellas who'll be sharp in the pub afterwards and tell you what you should have done. But yeah, actually to get someone in real time who can say, yeah, look, maybe we should do this or that or the other thing, it's an invaluable asset. And again, obviously Dermot can work with the goalkeepers, which is a good thing as well. So the fact that both of them were happy to come on board, I was delighted, and it's certainly going to make my job a bit easier in the coming years.
Now, the whole emphasis on football today has gone more the physicality of it and the fitness side of it. I mean, even from your time, it's even after going up in Donegal or after raising the bar, we were all wondering where the next bar would be raised to. Now Donegal are after showing us that there. So you had to go. You went for Keane O'Neill then. Now the whole country were looking for that man. He's reputed to be the best in the country. How important was it in your mind to have a physical trainer, and why did you go after Keane O'Neill?
It's hugely important. Again, I think, again, if you look back over the recent history of Kerry football, Alan O'Sullivan did a fantastic job under Jack. Prior to that, John Shukru did a great job under Pat O'Shea, and before that, Pat Flanagan had revolutionised it, you know, when he came in 2004 with Jack. So it is a massive area. I thought again that it was important to freshen it up and to have someone new there for the players, because the physical trainer is a person that deals an awful lot with the players, I suppose, together with the manager. They're the two voices that you're going to hear most. So it was important for a new voice to be there for the lads, particularly the senior players. And look, Keen is the top man. He's the best in the country. I mean, he's the head of the sports science department in UL, so he's at the cutting edge. And as well as that, I think, you know, he's experienced. He was with Mayo last year. He spent 4 years with the Tipperary Hurlers. He spent 2 years with the Limerick Footballers. So he's been up there in terms of inter-county experience. And the other thing then that's a big boost is that he's a football coach as well. So he'll be able to give me a hand out on the pitch in terms of doing a bit of coaching, which will, you know, it'll allow me maybe to take a bit of a step back and kind of have a look at the overall picture as well. So I was delighted when Keane came on board, and you know, again, he was mad for Road, and the big attraction for Keane was that it was Kerry, and that he was going to be getting a chance to work with some of the players that are there. So so I'm delighted, and I'm looking forward to getting stuck into it and working with him.
All the talk to Shireman was Donegal. They beat Kerry Courses, you know, and they were the talk of the country, really, and the type of play they played, and Jim McGuinness and their fitness and breaking out of the fence and 13 or 14 men behind the ball. Will you be aiming to reach their level of fitness, and will you be aiming to play anything like the type of football they will play, or will you be trying to stick to traditional Kerry football? And what's your views on the swarming game and the crowding, because everybody speaks about this now?
Yeah, I suppose in terms of fitness levels, we'll be looking definitely to try and take our fitness to a new level, but I think maybe in a different direction as well, Weeshie, rather than, you know, I think to challenge the players, even looking at the Kerry players playing the county championship and everything, they have a good level of fitness anyway, and some of the older players would have huge reservoirs of fitness built up over the years of training with Kerry. So I think maybe it's just a case of taking it in a different direction and challenging them in different ways in terms of their bodies. I don't think we'll have to go to the extremes possibly that Donegal did. I suppose you have to appreciate that when Jim McGuinness came in and took over Donegal, they were at a very low ebb, and you know that he probably had to go a bit extreme with them. I think a challenge for Jim McGuinness now for next year will be, when they are the kingpins and they are at the top of the pile, that, you know, to try and get them to go another couple of percent from there. It'll be interesting to see what he comes up with, because, you know, he is a very capable guy, and I'll be interested to see what direction they go in. In relation to the swarming, you know, the mass defence, and Again, I think Jim McGuinness felt that they were going to have to build from the back out, that they were going to have a structure in place that would make it very hard for them to be beat, first of all, and after that they could worry about playing football. And I think this year they developed it a lot. And I think when people were talking about Donegal, especially around the All-Ireland, it was all about, you know, the system. Everyone was speaking about the system. But I think what a lot of people forgot is that Donegal actually have a lot of very, very good footballers. And, you know, it was probably highlighted in the recent All-Stars, but the likes of Frank McGlynn, Carl Lacey, even fellas that didn't get All-Stars, Rory Gallagher, Ryan Bradley, obviously the likes of Michael Murphy and the McFaddens, Paddy McBrearty, all those fellas, they're serious natural footballers as well. And when you put them into the system, it was very effective. I think the challenge for Kerry, of course, is coming up with an antidote for that. But, you know, we'll be still keeping an eye on the Kerry traditions. We'll be doing it our own way. And, you know, I think that'll be the big enjoyment for myself, looking forward to tweaking game plans and trying to make ourselves solid. But at the same time, we'll be playing Kerry football as well.
Would you be an advocate, Eamon, of, I presume you are, with the under-21s, but what you played with the under-21s, of course, doesn't fit into senior. You have to, there are days when if you can't beat them, you join them. Mm-hmm. So really, no matter, people might be given out about maybe if we'll bring 13 men behind the ball, but there are days when you have to, you said there are certain days you have to tweak things and people have to put up with this. Would that be right?
Yeah, there will be days, of course. I mean, depending on conditions, and if you're playing against a strong wind, you might have to play a bit of a running game or whatever. Or, you know, towards the end of games, if you're winning games, you might have to look at shutting up shop. But, you know, like I say, we'll still be looking towards the Kerry traditions. We'll be still looking to move the ball by boot a lot of the time if we can. And I still think it's a very effective way, that if you can have good kickers and they're moving the ball quickly, you know, by boot, you can cut out a lot of the messing, and maybe it doesn't allow other teams to get as many bodies back behind the ball if you're moving the ball directly and quickly and clever as well, I suppose. So we'll be looking forward to challenging the lads, and maybe it's a case of that you have to play a couple of different ways during the course of games, or like you said, against certain opposition. You'd have to be more careful. But I think we're lucky in Kerry with the footballers we have, that fellas can adapt. They can play to different games and different days. And I'll be definitely looking forward to challenging the lads with regard to that.
Kerry are back in the McGrath Cup, which is a good thing, Eamon. I would imagine, everybody would imagine, we'll see a lot of younger players and players that we mightn't have heard of, or players that have shown up in the county championship. I'd imagine. And staying with that now and going on to the league, take the McGrath Cup and the league and the championship. Is it a bit of a balancing act with the older players? Will you play them in the league or will you rest them? And if you don't play them in the league, will they be fit enough for the championship? The whole thing really is a balancing act. Will they be able to take this very hard training that Keane O'Neill might bring in? You have to weigh up all that thing. Is that right?
You do, of course, Weishi. I think, in relation to the McGrath Cup, I think it's fantastic. We're in it, and it'll be a couple of competitive games for us in January. But I suppose the disadvantage of the McGrath Cup is that players that you'd like to be looking at, the younger lads in particular, a lot of them are in university or with the colleges, and that they're taken up with those teams. Their first commitment with the McGrath Cup is with their colleges. So you end up possibly having to call in some of the senior players. I think in terms of will the senior players be able for the training, I've no doubt that they will, because they're all, you know, every one of those senior players, they're fit men and they're in good shape, and they know how to mind their bodies. So undoubtedly they'll be well able for it. I think you're right, it will be a balancing act, and it'll be a case of looking at each case individually. Some players might need more football than others. Other players that are playing football up until December with their clubs and district championships and what have you might need a bit of a break earlier in the year. And we look at it case by case, but it is a balancing act, I suppose. An advantage maybe that we have this year that other years you wouldn't have is the fact that Kerry finished a bit earlier this year. If Kerry were finishing the August weekend this year, whereas if lads were going until September with Kerry and then trying to play a lot of club football and then get them going again in January would be tougher. Whereas I think by the time January comes, a lot of players will be mad for road, and it'll be a case of trying to hold them back rather than anything else.
That won't be the case, of course, with the Crokes, because I presume that we're talking here now on the day before they play above Inclare. I presume they'll win there, and they'll be probably involved for a lot of the time. So that's another thing that you have to weigh up, Eamon.
It is, of course, yeah, and it's I'll have to sit down with the Crokes lads, and we'll have to see how we'll go about it, because bar a major upset, you'd expect them to certainly get to a Munster final and more than likely win it. I think that they're going very well, and even in the county final, they look like that they've another level or two that they can go. So they're probably, they have ambitions, I imagine, to be in Croke Park and St Patrick's Day. So if it works out that way, look, again, we'll deal with it, and it can only be a good thing for Kerry football that you have a group of players progressing into an All Ireland club situation if it comes about, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But if the Crokes keep winning, we won't be too worried about that. It'll be a good thing for Kerry football.
Would you be a big advocate on discipline, and how important is discipline? From my perspective, I've never seen a team winning anything big unless they were very disciplined.
It is, of course. Again, it's there'll be so many small facets or so many details feeding into the overall picture. But again, it is an important area, and it's we'll be looking to try and get all the details right. And if you look after all the small things, the big things will take care of themselves after that. So I suppose the best thing about being involved with a senior team is that you've games all of the time with the National League. It's fantastic. You've games, you've at least seven very competitive games, and you're going to be in a position where you're learning about players and you're learning about your system week in, week out, and you have context the whole time. Whereas I suppose it's a bit tougher with an under-21 team, where you're playing challenge games and you're not sure how good or bad they are, and it's only when you get up and running in championship then you can make an accurate measure of the players. And it's great from the point of view of the senior setup that you've a lot of games and you've time to you've context the whole time to be coaching the players with regard to that.
Now, Eamon, you're a media man yourself, of course, even though that you're stepping back now. You were one of the top journalists in the country. By the way, did you enjoy working for the Irish Examiner, and people loved reading your columns and your summing up of the matches? That's all packed in now for the time being, is it?
It is, yeah. I enjoy it. I did a course, Weishi. I suppose it was another perspective again. And when I retired in 2007, and in fairness to the Examiner, Tony Lean, the sports editor, and the Examiner gave me an opportunity, and I was delighted to get involved in it at the time. I suppose it's a route a lot of players go down when they hang up the boots from their own careers. But I definitely enjoyed it. I found that it was a thing that it kept you kind of interested in the games, and it kept you sharp because you were looking at games with an analytical eye the whole time. And I definitely enjoyed it, but again, there's no comparison to being on the inside. It's an enjoyable aspect, but it's a different aspect that when you're on the, when you're on the inside and you're at the cutting edge, I suppose you're where you can shape how things are going to happen. Whereas when you're on the outside looking in, it's just slightly different.
How will you perceive the media? What will you expect from them, or what won't you expect from them? Having people like me now in you and meeting you and taking your time into it, will you have any kind of a set pattern or a rule for them, Eamon?
It's something we've discussed actually as a management. It's something we don't have anything organised yet, but I think it's probably something we can improve on in Kerry. All right. I think when you look at some of the other counties, they're very professional setups with regard to how they deal with the media. Now, I wouldn't like to think that that you'd be distant from the media or anything like that. I think in Kerry football is so important, and the media is all part of the gig as well. You just have to be willing to accept that. But it's something we're thinking about, and we're trying to see what's the best way we can approach, because undoubtedly it's gone massive, and it's getting bigger and bigger every year. I think the day after I was ratified as the manager, I think I did about 15 or 16 interviews the following day. So it was a bit of an eye-opener, all right. And I suppose what I found was that you were saying kind of the same thing to different people over and over again. So I was just thinking out loud that maybe there's a better way of doing it. I think when Jim Gavin was ratified as a new Dublin manager, then he did a kind of a press conference, and I suppose all the media came and met him there, and it was a one-off, and maybe it made it a bit easier from his point of view. But it's just, again, look, it's part of the job, and it's not something I have a problem with. You know, you're going to have to be available and accessible, and it's a responsibility, so it's not something I'm going to have a huge issue with anyway.
On a general standard of refereeing, Eamon, without mentioning any person or any games or anything like that, generally in the red card and the yellow cards, and I've seen some of the Kerry players getting yellow cards on the wrong, and seen players getting red cards on the wrong. And my idea would be that it's kind of very, that is a, it's not generalised refereeing. What's your view generally on it?
I think probably at intercounty level, the problem that all managers or players would have is just that there isn't a level of consistency there. I think, you know, certain referees referee the game certain ways and other referees referee it. You know, some can be stricter, some can be a bit easier, some let it flow, some can be very pernickety. Then sometimes they can pick up on a particular rule and they'll be very fussy in that rule, but they let other rules go. So look, I'm sure the referees, in fairness, they're always, like the players, they're always trying to improve and they're always trying to cut down the number of mistakes they make, but it's very hard because the game is so fast now and it's moving at such a rate, and you've one referee, and I just think maybe he could get a bit more cooperation maybe, or if the linesman had a bit more power and if the umpires had a bit more power to draw his attention to things. And we definitely don't embrace technology with regard to helping out referees. I don't think it's a case of second-guessing referees, but, you know, I don't know how you do it, but if there was big scores or whatever and there was decisions to be made, maybe there's a case to be made for a video ref just to make it easy for the referee. I mean, even last weekend with the Man United-Chelsea game, it took about 10 times of looking at a replay to confirm that Johnny Evans made contact with Torres before he went down, and if you looked at it from the referee's viewpoint, it looked like that it was a dive. So it's a tough one. It's a tough area, and you just hope that the referees are communicating with each other and they're trying to improve the whole time is the only thing you'd be hoping for.
And of course, the tackle in Gaelic football is impossible to referee. I mean, there's about 26 different fouls between the men with the ball and between the men without the ball. So really, in fairness to the referees, they're doing their best. But there's a lot of poor referees there also. Yeah, I mean, you give generally the idea of person that you're cool, calm and collected in the line. Are you a person that deep down, is that an impression that you give, or would you be seething at times at decisions, and would you be worried? Are you a man that lie awake at night worrying about what's going to happen and what did happen?
No, I won't be lying awake at all, Weishi. I hope I won't anyway. You know, I think maybe some of the Fionnuaig lads and the Lixnaigh lads might be laughing at you there, thinking that I'm always cool, calm and collected. I'm human like everyone else and I can lose my temper at times as well. But I suppose it's important from a management point of view that if you can retain some vestige of calmness on the sideline, because, you know, if you're losing your head in the sideline, it can transmit to the players, and I don't think it achieves a whole lot anyway. You know, I mean, even in a lot of big games anyway, especially in Croke Park, it's very hard for referees or players to even hear what you're saying on the pitch, like, so we'll be trying to keep it as cool as we can, but I'm sure there'll be times over the next couple of years that I mightn't look as cool as you're talking about, Weishi.
Turning to the Kerry supporters, Eamon, I suppose the Kerry supporters would be the most knowledgeable people in football, because they're reared, that they're brought up from knee high to grasshopper, and their fathers and grandfathers hand down that great those great opinions and that great knowledge of football. The Kerry supporter, and what will they mean to you overall now in relation to the Kerry team, and what would you say to them?
The Kerry supporters are fantastic, Weishi. Look, I mean, it's like every county. Of course, you've negative people, and no matter what we do next year, there's going to be some people giving out. And
you're ready for that?
That's fine. That's part of the territory. I'm not going to be taking much notice about that. I think the Kerry supporter can be summed up. I remember 2 years ago when Kerry lost the All-Ireland final, we'd say last year, when they lost the All-Ireland final to Dublin after, you know, that late goal. And we were all so disappointed. And I remember at the time thinking that it was like, for my generation, it was like 1982, that it was just, it was a game, you know, that we felt we'd won. And it was a huge achievement to have turned it around from the previous year. And it was taken away from us at the end. And we were all so disappointed. And I wasn't involved in the setup at all. I was in the outside that year. And the Monday evening when the team came home, myself and my wife Tina, we walked downtown just to be there when the team bus went down through Tralee, just for a bit of moral support. I felt it was important for the lads. And I met an elderly couple down just at the side of the stage, and we were talking away, and I was asking them where they were from, and they were actually after coming from Dublin to be there when the team came home. And I was saying, God, fair play to you, that was a serious gesture. And they said, well, actually, if the team had won, we wouldn't be here at all. But the fact that the team had been beaten, they felt that they wanted to come down and show their support to that team, because they were such a great team and there had been so many good days. And I just remember walking away that night and I thought it was a remarkable thing. And I think it kind of sums up the Kerry supporter. Like I said, there are Kerry supporters are demanding and will be very demanding, and I think that's what makes Kerry great, is that we are a very demanding county with regard to our football, and we look for success, and that's fine. I wouldn't have it any other way. And like I said, there will be some negative people out there, and they won't be happy with what we're doing. Again, that's fine. We know that we're on the inside trying our best, but there's a huge amount of positive people and there's a huge amount of goodwill behind the team as well. And I think that's what you have to focus on, and you have to remember those people even when things aren't going quite as well as planned.
What are you looking forward to most for the year now, Eamon?
I'm just at this stage, I'm looking forward to getting stuck into Dhuicy. I'm looking forward to working with the players and challenging the players, and looking forward to working with the new management team, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Keane O'Neill brings to the table. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm anticipating it now, and you know that when the National League starts, especially, and we've tough games on the road, and going away and see, maybe testing out some of the young lads to see what they're made of, it'll be very challenging, but it'll be very enjoyable as well. And like I said, I'm just looking forward to it at this stage.
Finally, finishing up now, your heritage, of course, in Kerry GAA goes way back, Eamon, doesn't it? I mean, way back, nearly to the foundation.
Well, it does. I suppose where I'm from, hurling would be our first game always. And I suppose it was only when I got to maybe 17 or 18 I started making Kerry minor football teams that the focus changed for me then, that I concentrated more on the football after that. But my own great-grandfather would have won a hurling All-Ireland with Kerry, the only hurling All-Ireland they won, and we've that medal at home, so it's a nice thing, all right. But even last Sunday at the county final, I met a neighbour of mine, John Costello. He lives above in Limerick now, and he was kind of laughing. He was saying that when he was a young fella, if you were seen playing football around Lixna, it was almost viewed as a foreign sport. And he was saying, Lixna, man, now as manager of the Kerry team, he was saying it's amazing how times have changed. So it is. It's a great thing, obviously, for myself and for my clubs in Lixna and Fionnuaig and Field Rangers. So exciting times ahead.
Well, Eamon, you're following in a great tradition, going back to Con Brosnan of North Kerry, who trained three All-Ireland winning teams, Jim Brosnan, of course, and he also did it, and of course, Johnny Welch, and yourself now. So come here. First of all, I want to thank you sincerely for meeting me and talking to me, Eamon. I won't be troubling you too much for the rest of the year. There'll be other fellas, I presume, to do the talking. But listen to me, the best of luck anyway, and I know that every Kerry follower, not alone in Ireland, but throughout the world, and as you know as well as I do, that throughout the world, they'll be keeping a close eye on Eamon Fitzmaurice and the Kerry team. And Eamon, whatever happens anyway, win, lose, or draw, come here. I know that you're going to give it 100%, and the best of luck to you.
Thanks, Richie.